If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to talk about the rules, Islamic jurisprudential laws about the media, according to Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Subhanallah.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program. And as always, our guest speaker, Sheikh Javid. Sheikh Javid, is it permissible for a man to provide makeup services for women or vice versa?
No, it is absolutely forbidden. Mm-hmm. And of course, in Western countries, it's very much customary, for women to go to men, getting services from men working in the salons, and also for mm-hmm. for men going to such places and getting services from women. And it's absolutely forbidden for either sexes to be touched by someone from the opposite sex, from the opposite gender. Mm-hmm. And it does not make any difference whether the other person who is from the opposite sex mm-hmm. Is doing it, touching the woman's mm-hmm. hair or body or neck or hand, or just, making her up, It is absolutely forbidden. As we said, that it's not permissible for a woman to show her makeup, mm-hmm. let alone going to a man, getting, salon services, and getting beautified or waxed, beautified.
Yes.
Or, receiving, for example, a pedicure or a manicure.
Yes.
Manicure. By a man or by someone from the opposite sex, it is not permissible.
What about the other way around, like actually men getting some services from women? Because basically men's hair is not part of their hijab or something like that, because they shouldn't cover that.
Because it is, it involves getting touched by the
If
by
they
the
don't
woman.
Touch it, they just touch it with the machine, like a shaving machine,
it's
for example.
It's not permissible. I'm definitely sure that no religious authority allows a man going to a woman, getting her hair cut, or let's say getting dressed.
That's apparent.
Yes.
But the other way around, like a man getting some shaving services from a woman.
That's what I'm saying, a man going to a woman and getting those services from a woman. Mm-hmm. It's not permissible.
I see. Okay. Sheikh Javid, what about the Islamic law about going to a special saloons? Because you also
yes.
Made a hint at that,
Yes.
Some special saloons that give you or offer some services, like, for example, waxing.
Yes.
All right. Some of the parts. Like the legs or something like that, And what about the Islamic law about women going mm-hmm. to such places and getting their private parts waxed by another person, especially even by women?
You're right. This is unfortunately a very, common practice.
Mm-hmm.
It has become something routine for some women, for some Muslim women going
yes.
to these salons and getting waxed by women. So what does it mean? When a woman goes to such places, she has to uncover her private part to another woman,
mm-hmm.
and she should allow the other person to remove the hair around the genital area. And according to all religious authorities, it's absolutely forbidden for a woman to uncover her private parts and allow another person to remove the unnecessary or the hair. This is waxing in this sense is absolutely forbidden. If a woman wants someone else to remove the hair, she can. She can go to her husband or ask mm-hmm. her husband to
yes.
help her remove the hair, and she herself can do it.
Right.
It is. It is haram, generally speaking, for a woman to go to a salon and get the service and clean her hair or get remove the hair and uncover the private
part. What if they exclude the private parts?
Okay. If that is the case, of course. For example, if someone has you know, removes the hair on the legs. On the legs.
There's or the no arms. Objection.
Yeah. Or the arms.
Or getting manicure or pedicure services.
Yeah, you are right. That's permissible. Uh-huh. That's permissible because the for women, you know, to go to a woman and let's say get the hair on the legs removed, it is permissible.
I see. Yes. Okay, let's take a short break again, Sheikh Javid, and then we'll be back and continue our program of Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Don't go away. La ilaha
illallah, Allahu Akbar. The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about the Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about the rules of the media according to Ayatollah Khamenei. And Sheikh Javid, I'm going to ask you a question about movies and moving pictures and cartoons, you know, and the like. What is Ayatollah Khamenei's ruling about looking at the pictures of non-mahram women who are not wearing hijab, or let's say watching some women, you know, appearing on television? And what is the ruling? Is it, you know, related to, or does it depend on, let's say, that women are Muslims or non-Muslims, or whether it's a live program or not?
Well, we should understand that looking at the picture of a non-mahram woman does not have the same ruling of looking at this, a woman herself.
Right.
So they are different. One is the picture and the other the person herself. So there is no objection to someone seeing a woman's image, unless, of course, looking is accompanied by some kind of lust or by some kind of, you know, pleasure, which a man might seek, you know. And if there is fear of falling victim to the temptation, or the picture belongs, for example, to a Muslim woman who is known to the person. So in such cases, of course, it's not permissible to watch these pictures who are, let's say, you know, who do not wear proper hijab, or who are partially naked. It's not permissible to say. But if the woman is a non-Muslim woman who does not observe hijab, and there is no lust accompanied with looking at the picture, of course there is no objection. And Grand Ayatollah Khamenei says that as a matter of obligatory precaution, one should not view pictures of non-mahram women on television that are broadcast live. You know, pictures of women who do not observe proper hijab. You know, there are women who are, for example, you know, you can say they are very much attractive, very much, you know, partially, let's say, naked. They appear on television, they are non-Muslims. So Ayatollah Khamenei says that as a matter of obligatory precaution, one should avoid weaving these pictures that are broadcast live. And there's no problem as far as the pictures which are not broadcast live. There's no problem in watching them, provided that it's not, you know, accompanied with some kind of ill intention, or there's no fear of falling into a sin. And if a person is confident that he will not, you know, fall into a sin, and he is confident that he will not watch the picture which is not broadcast live with some kind of sexual intention,
I see,
or with lustful intention, there is no objection to him watching those images.
Sheikh Sawid, what about some of the sports programs and matches? Usually they are broadcast live all across the globe,
yes.
Right? And these are sports matches, you know, we are talking about like men, for example, playing soccer. And then in the even Muslim families, and they are very much attracted to soccer and football. And then they watch it, you know, along with their family members.
Yes.
So what about the women? Are women allowed or is it permissible for women to watch those sports matches live? While, as we know, men are wearing shorts, basically, right?
Yes.
In their sports. They're not wearing pants. So is it permissible for the women to watch that?
Well, there are two kinds. Watching from close, as far as watching from close is concerned, of course, it's not permissible for a woman to watch a man with barren legs from close. But if the pictures are not broadcast live, there's no objection to a woman watching it without lustful intention, you know. And if she's confident that she will not fall into a sin, there is no objection or there's no problem in watching those pictures. And of course,
as long as it's not live?
As long as it's not live, of course. If it is live, then of course, just as I said in one of the previous, in my answer to the previous question, one should avoid watching such pictures as a measure of precaution.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Sawid. Thank you for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا